noon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
This is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is July the 12th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, and also now our YouTube live stream, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman has really been exceptionally comfortable, with highs hitting only 84 degrees, but as nightfall settled in, temperatures have been rapidly dropping, resting at a cool 67 degrees by 11 o'clock this evening and 65 degrees at just past 1 o'clock in the morning, which is now. Now, we will be going down to an ultimate low of 61 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Now, throughout the evening, there has been a reasonably steady breeze that has made the air feel quite fresh and downright cool at times. Currently, winds have died down a bit, but remain at about 7 miles per hour out of the northwest. And when the breeze makes its way through the open windows here in the front of the house, it really makes for a very refreshing room. But unfortunately, usually that breeze makes its way through the west side of the house, and that doesn't quite get into this part of the house. So I don't get to feel the breeze as much here as I would if I were out in the living room or the front room of the house. Now, here in my office, again, it's still nice, although we've got a bunch of lights on and things like that. But anyways, it's just a nice night here in Amman. Very pleasant, very refreshing. Just want to remind everybody the chat room is open inside the iLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door there. Telephone lines are also open, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And of course, now we are live streaming on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube /C, I believe it is, / Inside the Eye Live. Or you can just look for Inside the Eye Live on a YouTube search and get to the live stream there. Let's see. You know, the big news, I think, for most of it coming out of Europe was Trump and his recent trip into see the NATO. I don't know if it's mafia or whatever, but Trump was sitting there with NATO complaining a lot about the money and the price and all of this stuff, and basically being Trump as he is out there. And he's been a bit disgruntled over this thing. And one of Trump's beliefs is, of course, that the United States spends way too much to uphold NATO compared to other members. That may actually be true. And the other is over a giant pipeline construction plan between Germany and Russia. And the funny thing about this is, first of all, when you look at the money that is being spent by the United States, it is really an issue where America was the victor. After World War II, some nationalists, not everybody, figured out that the Soviets were not the nicest people after World War II. We had a big Cold War start up and all of that fun stuff. But for the most part, the Americans have always understood that by controlling Germany, they controlled Europe. So for Trump to kind of like gloss over the fact that America and Jews in particular, quite frankly, have a stranglehold over European politics vis-a-vis its control of Germany. Well, that's just not being stated here. I mean, my goodness, here in Germany today, you can't even go into Germany without their Stasi slash not even Gestapo, but their Stasi, their Bolshevik mind thought criminals out there arresting you for videos you make, for things you say, for gestures. I mean, my goodness, you can do this in Germany. Just do this. And if you don't like wave high properly and somebody mistakes you for doing this, but you're really waving, they can come and arrest you. And they're so idiotic. They will do that. I mean, they will destroy a person's life in Germany simply because of a gesture that somebody might make, just because of something that somebody says. And of course, for us Americans, that's anti-American. Why are we supporting Germany to begin with? Why? Because it's a Jewish construction. That's why we're supporting Germany. So for Trump to talk about how the Germans aren't paying enough, well, the Germans don't even have a country, you guys. I mean, let's be honest here. It is controlled by America, by the Jewish the Jewish mafia that controls, I guess, America at this stage. I'm not sure exactly how to even label it properly, but let's be honest, folks, it is not just black and white here about who pays, who doesn't pay. Now, if you're not familiar with really the complexity of NATO, it's a 29 nation European and North American alliance. All the nations are essentially by treaty bound to defend each other. If one nation is attacked, other nations have to come to the rescue and basically fight in wars equally. That's not being stated here. For instance, the only time that the charter to invoke self-defense was on 9/11, and that brought NATO into the quote-unquote, the war on terror. That has had NATO troops, German troops, Polish troops, many NATO countries have been all over, you know, Southeast Asia, but Central Asia, the Middle East, Afghanistan. And of course, all of this is based on a fraud equally. You know, here the NATO countries are coming to the aid of America for a self-inflicted treasonous 9/11 action, and Trump's not talking about that. I mean, if I'm the Europeans, I'm going to be kind of pissed off at Trump. I'm going to say, hey, why are you asking us to spend more money when we're already losing material, manpower, money on needless wars because you idiots in America can't even control your own borders and you allow a bunch of communist Jews to essentially, or Bolshevik Jews or Israeli-centric Likudnik Jews, whatever you want to call it. Oh, maybe they're Zionist Jews. You know, you can use that term too. But you know what? They're the ones out there that caused this whole problem and making this entire, 15, 20-year war now going on? Close to 18 years, I think it is, for what, this war on terror, which is nothing but a cover to protect Israel's back? I mean, come on, guys. So, but Trump, you know, he this thing's been, it's been out there since 1949, by the way, NATO. Now, during this two-day summit, Trump began on Tuesday. He met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, and he was very quick to lash out at that. It was interesting to watch. It was probably painful, quite frankly, to be in that room with Trump. Trump does have a very strong presence. Trump is the big dog inside the room. The United States basically does keep NATO as an institution in business. So if Stoltenberg wants to complain too much, well, what are you going to do? If America pulls out, there is no NATO. That it would probably collapse. So Trump is saying that many countries are not quote unquote paying what they should, and that may actually be true, including Germany. And he continued, Trump said, and frankly, many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money for many years back where they're delinquent, as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. Well, quite frankly, that's a completely erroneous false statement. This is not a country club. There are not dues. It's not like anybody owes America anything. If Trump and the Americans are so stupid that they're going to keep paying, well, then they're just stupid and they keep paying. It doesn't matter because whatever Jews tell them to do, they're going to do it. For us Americans, once Russia and the Soviet Union fell, as far as I'm concerned, we can shut NATO down. Let Germany start to fend for itself. Let the Italians fend for themselves. The French are already lost. The British are well on their way to being lost. They've tried to save themselves through Brexit, but that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. So why do we Americans have to worry about Europe anymore? Just leave it. I'm not worried about the Russians. Russia today is not the Jewish Bolshevik monstrosity that it was 25, 30 years ago. It's a whole different country, whole different priorities, whole different interests. Quite frankly, my take on all of this is that the American establishment, the elite establishment, understands full well that an alliance between Germany and Russia would be an exceedingly powerful thing upon the world stage. And then if you link that with China, the United States, quite frankly, is the odd man out, because our Jewish establishment that runs the American policies here in the States, they've destroyed all the goodwill that basically Americans have built over 40, 50, 60 years of post-World War reconstruction. So, folks, the issues here aren't so much that NATO isn't paying its fair share. The real issue here is they just want to extort more money from the Germans and everybody else, quite frankly. But, hey, they want to keep NATO together. Trust me, the United States does not want to see an alliance between Germany, Russia, and China, because that would be an exceptionally strong and powerful alliance. It would combine manpower, technology, military might, financial clout, and the American, our great Jewish leaders, they understand that, you know, if you have this type of alliance, the Jewish game of let's all go take our ball and go home isn't going to be quite nearly as effective as it would be otherwise. Now, obviously, countries do rely on the United States for its economic well-being. America is a huge market. It prints the most money, so therefore it's able to buy the most stuff, quite frankly. The petrodollar has benefited the American people, obviously, for quite some time. Now, inside of NATO, there's really only about four countries, the United States, Britain, Estonia, and Greece, that are actually exceeding the 2%, which is required by NATO. And most of these countries, the U.S. is spending the most at over 3.5%. But, you know, the American military overall is insane, $600-800 billion, and never really has an elite been given so much and been so failed so much. That's not any great way to say it. Never has an elite in the U.S. or never has a military done so much with so little with so much. I think that's a good way to say it. Never has a military like the United States done so little with so much. They're everywhere, but we just don't see, quite frankly, any key strategic wins when it comes to the U.S. military's actions overseas. So the idea here coming out of NATO then is this. Trump is stating to the American people and to the world that NATO allies owe us a tremendous amount of money. That's what he's trying to claim here. This is patently false. Again, maybe these countries have been short in paying their arrears, but let's be honest, the bankers know full well that these countries in NATO are under the yoke of the bankers. They know the financial situation. As long as the bankers are getting their money and everybody's safe and secure, you know, NATO can suffer a little bit. It's the bankers are still getting their money. That's the key point. And he says here, you know, we're protecting Germany. This is Trump speaking. We're protecting France. We're protecting everybody. And yet we're paying a lot of money to protect. Well, Trump, quite frankly, bring your military home. We don't need to be protecting everybody. You're not protecting the American people over there. You're protecting your banker friends. You're protecting your Jewish friends. You're not protecting the American people, really. Now, he says, if you know, the idea that America is protecting, yeah, we are protecting everybody, but that's because we have a dollar to protect. We have this economic monster called the American economy and the U.S. dollar. And it's the only currency right now that is fully backed by thermonuclear power and the desire and the willingness to use it. And the world, that is not lost on the world. You can trust on that. NATO is over-reliant on the United States, but then again, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? That's like saying that we're overly reliant on Jews sometimes, right? You know, no, it's not so simple. NATO's overly reliant on the United States for a reason, and that's because NATO relies on America, quite frankly, and America wants it that way because that way it has much more power over these nations. Now, Mr. Stoltenberg argued that the U.S. military presence in Europe based on its NATO membership gives it an advantage in dealing with Russia and projecting power in the Middle East and Africa. And all of these are true. These are actually kind of like free bases for the United States. Now, Germany and Russia, as we all know, they are building the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is going to pipe in a lot of Russian natural gas. It should be completed by 2020. Merkel, for her part, says, oh, Germany, we're going to get our defense spending back up by 2024. Well, by then, Russia will have basically that pipeline open. And without the pipeline, a lot of people don't understand this equally. Without that pipeline that is flowing from Europe, or from Russia to Europe, and all of that money is denominated in euros, there's no need for a euro without all of that gas. Quite frankly, the value of the euro would decline rapidly without the demand from the Russian gas business. There's like this little cycle how money keeps fluctuating, not fluctuating, but it's a revolving door between Russia and then Europe, Russia, Europe, Russia, Europe, Russia, Europe. And so these issues aren't being brought up very much at all, but all of these play a little part in how the geopolitics is working. Now, people are asking, can Russia be trusted? Well, quite frankly, can Jews be trusted? And America is run by Jews. Can America be trusted? No. America has been deceptive all along the way. And quite frankly, for national powers, America is a difficult animal right now. We would like to be trusted. We should be trusted. But the leadership we have in power right now, no, I don't think so. They have basically misled the entire way throughout the past 30, 40 years now. They misled Gaddafi. They said, look, give everything up. But they didn't say they weren't going to blow him up 5 years later, you know. So these are issues that America, when it comes to trust, the big thing isn't so much as can the Americans be trusted. I think people understand that largely on some levels, Americans can be trusted, but on another level, they can't. And it's a dangerous situation stating that they can't, because when we say Americans can't be trusted, we are talking about regime changes. We are talking about all kinds of nasty things that America, we've seen Americans do across the geopolitical scene out there. So again, NATO was a huge deal actually for Europe. The summit here, they had to call a special session after Trump basically tried to blow the thing up. Trump's claims he got all this, oh, all these nations are going to increase their spending. Well, Trump, none of those people at that meeting have the power to even do that. These require national debates. They do require laws. They require finances, a whole range of issues that go into this. And in some respects, for Trump to sit there and tell the American people, oh, I got this great commitment from the Europeans, and trust me, everything is going to be great. And oh, it's a fun time for us in Belgium here. Well, Trump is, again, these are the kind of, childish, it's stupid, simplistic, naive things that Trump does on the world scene. Anyways, guys, it's the Fetch. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's Inside the Eye Live prime time. I need a new chair. This one's just not so comfortable. I need a new chair here. I'm probably going to do that, buy another chair, because to do these new videos, it's kind of hard without a good chair, to be honest with you. It's kind of hard. Let's see here. How's everybody doing out there, by the way? I haven't checked in. Let me get over to the chat room first, everybody. Let me try to say hi to the chat room. I haven't done that yet. Chat room, it is open. And I can now see Blau Ocean is there. Blackbird is there. Hello, Blackbird, Equicentric. That's all I see on the page right now. And they're saying that my volume is extremely low. I'm not sure why that is. It sounds pretty good on my side, quite frankly. Everything looks good here. So if it's low, I don't know why. Quite honestly, I don't know why, guys. If you're saying it's low, I don't know why. I'm tired. It's 1 a.m. Maybe that's why. I'm just a little bit tired and I'm not enunciating clearly enough. But let's see. North Atlantic. Guys, I'll just have to try to speak up a little bit. There's nothing I can really do to increase the volume here anymore without kind of smashing everything up, because it should be set pretty darn good. Let's see over at the live stream. Let's see at the live stream. Yes, we got people in the live stream. Welcome everybody in the live stream equally. Hope you're enjoying the show. I can wave to you to there. So anyways, guys, welcome and thanks for joining us also in the live stream. You know, this week, what is it? 121. Okay. This week, I want to talk a little bit about the World Cup. That's right. The beautiful game, as they used to like to call it, soccer, football, the World Cup in Russia. It's coming to a conclusion. And interesting development here. That sounds not right. Let's see here. I hear some fracture stuff here. I need to replace some equipment, everybody. Let's see. You know, the World Cup is it's a big deal. I mean, a lot of Americans don't really understand it or appreciate it. But I went out last night. And I went and watched Croatia play, England. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Went to a hotel type of environment. Not really a hotel. I went to a hotel environment, but they wanted a cover charge of like $22 per person to get into to have a seat here to actually watch it. And I had two other guests with me. So $22 times three was $66 just to get in the door. And I said, thank you very much for that. I've already had dinner. I don't need your barbecue. I just want to watch the game. So there was a nice Chinese restaurant across the street from this hotel. It's a upper class restaurant. So they had a back area called Goya. I think that's a Japanese term there, Goya. But I went in there and I said, do I need a reservation? And they said, no, sir, you're welcome. I was very early, like 8:30. So I went in, I got a nice seat in front of a private TV, so because I got the bad eye here. So I watched, I sat down and had a couple beers to enjoy the game. It was expensive. You know, it's Jordan. What could I say? But enjoyed myself, had some argila, enjoyed the game. And really, it was very entertaining. And we had this guy come in just before the game. He looked like he was maybe British. He said, so are we playing for? That would not be something we Americans would say. But he said, are we playing for England tonight? And I just kind of smiled up at him and said, welcome. You know, and he sat next to the table next to us. And he had a Chinese gal with him. And of course, I had my two Filipinas with me. So, you know, that was multiculturalism play here, guys. But he's there and she was a big UK fan or England fan. Cause when England scored its first goal early in the game, she basically jumped out of her seat. But most of the crowd there last night was rooting for Croatia, including yours truly. And the reasons for that were kind of simple. Croatia is the one national team that is actually there representing Western Europe. England, the UK, it's not really a national Western team. And I'll tell you, I've just written an article up at Inside the Eye Live, and you can go over and check it out at Inside the Eye Live, talking about really Croatia and France. Who would the nationalists and should nationalists be rooting for? And I'm like, you know, the nationalists, we should all be rooting for Croatia, a country of about 3.9 million people going up against a multicultural morass, juggernaut, quite frankly, called France, where virtually every player there is a superstar in their own right, playing for some team. I mean, you look at the transfer fees on some of these players. I think one guy, the transfer fee to get the guy is something like 251 million euro, which would be close to $286 million. So when you look at the French team, it's not really a French team. It is a multicultural team, to be polite. All of these players, I'm informed, are born in France. But again, we'd like to just say it's not a French team. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about that in the second hour, primarily because we're coming up on a break right now in about a minute and a half, I assume. Let me try to get everything opened up here. Yeah, so we'll be coming on into a break in about an hour, in a minute to 2 minutes. So just want to say again, good morning from Amman. Also, we'd just like to say, you know, we've had a very interesting time here with Inside the Eye Live over the past couple of weeks. You know, we had that interview a couple of weeks ago here on primetime, and it was very somewhat contentious. But I'll tell you what, we've seen traffic just crater after that show. We don't know if the powers that be are blocking us because we got somebody upset, or whether you, the listener, got upset. But I'll tell you what, man, we've noticed we're not going to change a whole lot, quite frankly. We're going to keep plugging away doing what we do. But we have noticed a very serious drop in traffic over the past couple weeks. And that's okay. We still got a still solid base out there. But nonetheless, that was a very interesting development. We haven't seen that probably in 6-7 years of doing the show. We've actually never seen it. So it's our first time going into a slump, everybody, after 7 years. No, we're actually going to finish now our 7th year this year. Literally, we're going to finish our 7th year, going to be starting our 8th year. 2011? 7? Yeah, we're going to be starting our 8th year at the end of this month. Our first show went live. I'll tell you what, it looks like we're going into a break, everybody. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live and Prime Time, actually. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time again for Thursday, Thursday, July the 12th, 2018, a good Thursday afternoon again, to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And of course, for those of you European Asian time zones, again, we know it's a late night to early Friday morning as it is right now here in Amman, Jordan. This is listener sponsored and supported radio. It does It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. Again, we do not want to get deplatformed, everybody. And if we don't have a platform to work from, we definitely need you to support that platform, because without your support, we're not going to have that platform. And again, Inside the Eye Live, Inside the Eye Live Primetime is one of the bigger shows here. And therefore, we're asking you to definitely do what you can to support the network, support the show, and of course support your ability to hear this show on the platform, because without the platform, probably we would go silent as Inside the Eye Live. I'm not sure we would actually even keep doing the show. So folks, definitely you want to keep up the platform here, because I just don't want to be searching for a new platform at this stage of the game. Now we've had some changes over at the website, not a whole lot of changes. You know, the change is really we have switched hosting companies. We have consolidated the various domains that we have into some parking sites to save money. All of that now is complete, pretty much largely complete. Traffic seems to be, has seemed to return back to normal now. So we appreciate everybody sticking with us. It was generally, it was a pretty seamless move. We did have some technical issues, nothing really serious, but for overall, everything is great with the website as far as technically. It loads fast. I've gone through some of the Google metrics, you know, in the backside, and everything looks great with the website. So if you haven't checked it out, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Then again, just go to InsideTheEyeLive.com. Now, of course, if you're in the chat button in the chat room, you kind of know everything is going great because you're there. So again, you guys, everything is great. Thanks for showing up, and I hope you're enjoying the show in the chat room. And what else is news? I guess the ITEL Cat Report is news. It's proudly sponsored by Friends of Grism.blogspot.com. That is actually our IT people behind the scenes. And if you have any type of need for any higher level IT type of work on a website, folks, send me an email at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com, because the guy that's working on our website does some of the major properties out there in the alternative right. And I guarantee you, he's got you know, he manages it for now from behind the scenes largely. And so I for the most part, I kind of ask him, well, how's it going? But I'm not having to do too much, and that's really appreciated. So whenever we want to try to upgrade, I've got someone to rely on. And if you would like that too, then you can use friendsofgrism.blogspot.com, where right now he's asking that if you appreciate the work over at Grism's, don't forget to leave and buy a cup of coffee for Zap Hopper. He does a lot of great work. And really, to make these shows sound great, he does a lot of great work. Cat Report, kind of simple. Right now, I'm kind of enjoying myself because straight ahead of me is Bruiser. He's in the window there. I've put a pillow out there so he can actually sit out, kind of like extended out the side of the window. So it's very fresh where he's at. One eye is to the left of me. I gave him my towel. He loves to sleep on things that I've either worn or like my towel, which is used to towel myself down. He has crashed out. I bundled it. I didn't bundle it. I folded it up really nice. So he's got his legs outstretched. His head is down. He's sleeping. Bruiser's got his nose tucked under the paws there. So he's sleeping. So for me, this is cat heaven. I got the two cats here. Everybody's safe. Everybody's sound. And that's all a good thing. Just around the house, we really look like we are going to be adopting these kittens. Now, I haven't seen them today, but today we had another cat from outside came into the house. We have like a wrought iron door without a screen, so it's very easy for animals to climb through, at least cats anyways. So we had a cat come in the house today. That sent Bruiser into a frickin' tizzy. I can't tell you. Bruiser was just stomping and snorting around the house. Started to fight one eye, and I had to like break one eye. Come on, Bruiser, you don't have teeth anymore. And here you are trying to fight everybody. But anyways, yeah, he was just snorting around the house, man. He was pissed. But that cat went out pretty fast. It wasn't a big challenge to try to get the cat out. But the kittens, they like to just hop through the door too now. So we're having to, unfortunately, shut our door, or we're going to have to go buy a screen because, you know, we want the door open for the wind, but we don't want the animals to come in the house. And so that's kind of how the cats are working right now. Everything's been kind of quiet. I think he likes these kittens because we heard him talking to the kittens yesterday, and about 15 minutes later, the kittens were standing at my door screaming a storm saying, we're hungry, we're hungry, we're hungry. So I think one eye has a little bit to do with the fact that they're kind of hanging out around my house. That one eye's always been great with kittens. Seriously, for as long as I remember, whenever we used to have a lot of kittens around the house, one eye was just something. He would always be the big brother, the big uncle who would help the babies get along and figure things out. So one eye's just a great cat. Bruiser, no. Bruiser can't stand other cats. But that is, you know, we would like to. Someone's saying, and George is saying in the chat room, adopt the kittens, fetch. You know, quite honestly, we are. But the problem is we can't let them in the house. The kitten, it's rambunctious. There's two kittens. One of these kittens loves attention. It wants attention more than food. You can put the food down, but it doesn't go to the food. It just wants human attention. It wants human touch. It just goes crazy around your legs, and it just wants to purr up a storm, and it climbs on the wall so I don't have to bend down, and it just wants attention. It's terrible to hold. She doesn't want to be held. But she's just wonderful as far as the attention goes. But yeah, we pretty much will adopt them. We've been feeding them. It's not a problem. We can afford to feed the cats. So, that's not a problem. But the problem is we just can't let them in the house because of Bruiser. Bruiser would just go freaking crazy on us, and I just can't have that. But that's the Cat Report, everybody. Again, brought to you by friends of grism.blogspot.com. That's friends of grism.blogspot.com.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
How is it run by Jews? It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Tears.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Oy vey.
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, everybody. We'd just like to remind you that the Oy Vey Moment, again, sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. He's got a new show every single day of the year. That's right, a new show every single day of the year. And you can catch the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show every day, every day of the year. That's every day at Eurofolk Radio at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock p.m. UK. And again, all of the archives are available for free at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. This week's Oy Vey Moment is coming to us from Germany. And what it is it's German Jews are whining again. And what they do is they're calling for a crackdown on anti-Semitism, including among Muslims. See, it's everybody now. And it's written this way, is almost 40 Jewish groups urge Berlin to require organizations to publicly renounce anti-Jewish sentiment and BDS as a condition for receiving funds. Well, you kind of get where that's going to go from here, but let's look at it this way. What Jews want to do is very similar to what Saudis will do, as Saudis are certainly accused of doing, and that is buying foreign policy. What Jews want to do is buy domestic policy. They're saying, if you don't basically give us Jews what we want, you are not going to get money from your own government. And at what point do the people of the West start to get a grasp on just what Jewish people are telling you? You cannot receive funds. You cannot receive contracts unless you first do what Jews tell you to do. You're not allowed to have your own moral position here. That's kind of where this is headed now. Now, in an open letter, and it was signed, it's like everybody... This is why I can't. First, let me get through this one. I'll try. In an open letter signed by 38 groups, the country's Jewish Forum for Democracy and Against Anti-Semitism. Wow, there's a mouthful for you, but that's a real organization. Let me say that again. Sorry to blow on the mic, but whew, that was a mouthful. The country's Jewish Forum for Democracy and Against Anti-Semitism on Monday outlined a policy statement, and it urged Berlin to condition funds for civil and religious organizations on them issuing public declarations distancing themselves from quote-unquote anti-Semitism in all its forms, which Jews get to define. Now, first of all, to the Jewish community out there, get out of our faces. You cannot call yourself democracy and at the same time make demands on everybody to where they can't exercise their democratic values or what they feel is important to them. And then if they don't, you want their own governments to take their money away, money that they pay to the governments, but you Jews are going to decide how it's dispersed. The insanity, the chutzpah, the pure anti-Western sentiment of these organizations, it is just really starting to boggle my mind that more and more people aren't speaking up. How dare you sit there and tell us that you're quote unquote the group on democracy here. What's it called? The Jewish Forum on Democracy. And to those of you out there that had a big little hissy fit about Zionists and Jews, I'm reading here, dudes and dudettes, it says here, Jewish Forum for Democracy. It doesn't say Zionist Forum for Democracy. And yet this Jewish Forum for Democracy wants to tell everybody that they can't engage in boycott, divest, and sanction. Well, why not? It's their country. It's Germany, for goodness sake. It's Germany. If the Germans want to boycott Israel, that should be their right. Since when do these foreign Jewish people have a right to tell the Germans what to do? Haven't they been kicked out of enough countries to understand that it's about time that they're starting to really get the ire of people because they just continue to impose themselves on everybody in ways that they just have no right nor business doing? Look, to the Jewish community, if you want to buy from Israel right now, there's no law that says you can't do it, but we sure as heck don't want you to give us laws that tell us we have to buy from Israel, or we must say you Jews are worshiping and worship you. For what? You guys are idiots. You're a freaking classless, sadistic country. Deal with it. Not tell us that we have to support it. Come on. You guys are out there, pictures every day coming out of horror stories about Israel. The other day, there was an old lady sitting on her roof. I'll go up on my roof here. Jews just kind of barged up on the roof and just start beating her up. For what? And it's the IDF. For what? Is this the world that we want to live in, where basically a bunch of goons, a Stasi goons called Jews, can walk around anywhere, or their Jew-trained, quote-unquote, Stasi Goy army is able to just run around and just start beating people up just because they want to? Because that's what's going on in Israel day in and day out. Nearly every other hour, folks. These people are sick. They're whacked. They're insane. Start to come to grasp with just how much we should divest ourselves from the Jewish people here. Now, according to this statement, it called on authorities to take the experiences of attack victims. Called on to take the experiences of attack victims more seriously. Oh, that's how you say that. Boy, that's like a mouthful. The statement called on authorities to take the experiences of attack victims more seriously and increase their investment to support projects and democracy promotion programs. Well, again, what a freaking moronic statement that is. If people want to exercise their democratic right and boycott, divest, and sanction Israel, that's called democracy. When you Jews tell people that you cannot be doing these activities, you aren't creating democracy. You are creating a totalitarian structure with Jews as the only key element to what is allowed and what is not allowed here. That's what you're telling us. This isn't democracy. This is Jewish Talmudic tyranny. Talmudic tyranny. That works for me. It urged the government and all state-funded groups to adopt the working definition for anti-Semitism. We've been telling you this for over a year now. Jews want to take a Romanian nonprofit organization. Okay? They want to elevate the Holocaust to a national or international religion. They want to make criticism of this religion a violation of law. They want to create a bunch of definitions that have no basis in reality, that are in de facto false and misleading. Look, Jews can be disloyal to their country. They are traitors to all of us for the most part. It's proven time and time again. Just look at the policies that they enact and play into our countries. Yet you're not allowed to say that anymore under this definition. This definition is essentially institutionalizing Jewish domination and power in the political realm, because you technically cannot say a word about Jews in this definition. It is very easy for some Jew to whine, and Jews are the biggest whiners on the planet. And in Europe, they are by far the biggest whining group in Europe to the police. And they will just screw with your lives. Folks, this is not a definition. This whole definition should be redefined. It's almost as if, and we just don't have the money to do it, to sit around and sit there and basically do what these idiots do for days on and days out, to talk about anti-Semitism and how are we going to define it. We don't have that money. We should force Jewish groups to give us the money so we can create our own working definition of anti-Semitism, to include the fact that we are factually correct, to ensure the fact that recognizing Jewish treason in our nations is a bona fide reason to be anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish. And we have to always say, look, you guys in the Jewish community, you call it anti-Semitism. We call it counter-Semitism. You can be anti-Jewish. Now, again, these are political issues here, folks. It's not hatred issues like Jews like to claim. Oh, you just hate us. No, we have a political will outside of your freaking stupid boundaries. Your little childish Talmudic world doesn't work for us. It's just stupid. It doesn't work. It works for you because it's all for you and nothing for us. Your system doesn't work. That's not called hatred. That is called sound, rational observation of the stupidity of Jewish policies in our country. Now, imagine these guys are saying you can't boycott and divest yourself from Israel. Why not? And here we got Jews telling us all the time, the boycott and divest sanction movement, it's always a failure. It's been going for 70 years and it hasn't worked yet, and it's a failure. Okay, fine. Jewish groups in Israel are bragging about this. So why are you Jews telling us we can't do it? Again, at what stage do we call Jewish intellect simply crackhead logic? How's that? At what stage? I mean, to me, everything about Jewish logic is crackhead logic, stuck on stupid. It's everything I can recall from those days when I was hanging out around Los Angeles and watching everything unfold. It's crazy, folks. The insanity coming from the Jewish community is absolutely, it's inconceivable that these people are this stupid. Seriously, folks, I have read time and time and time again about how the failure of boycott, divest, and sanction has been failing for 70 years. You guys can't win. Yet everywhere I look, I see Jews trying to criminalize BDS. So what is it? On one hand, you're bragging that it, again, this type of level of Jewish stupidity, it always boggles my mind. Now, of course, what Jews want to focus on here in this particular statement is they want to, quote unquote, train the police. Now, to those of you in the police forces, get a freaking clue. Get in shape if you are Western European. Get in shape. Get off the donuts. Become aware. Become clued in. Sabotage what you can. But stop going along with everything like everything is like, oh, so rosy under the sky. It's not. The idea that Germany's police are to serve Jews now, which is what is intended in this particular document here. They want to start sending people into the schools, which means they want to start brainwashing the children. They want to basically bring in the refugees and brainwash the refugees. They, of course, talk about the media being an aid in this agenda. It also said that the fight against anti-Semitism should take into account its prevalence over centuries and not be equated with other prejudices such as hatred of Muslims. Again, this idea that Jews and their prejudices, you Jews need to freaking have a freaking clue here. There's nothing about prejudice. It's look, and if we are prejudiced, it's for a reason. The fact is Jewish policies, Jewish stranglehold on the German people today is becoming every bit as bad as it was in Weimar, minus what? Minus the currency imploding, which it would probably do if Trump got his way and they didn't build any pipelines to use euros to buy Russian gas. It goes on to say here, anti-Semitism cannot be successfully fought as a mere subcategory of racism. Well, again, racism exists. Jews are the most racist people on this planet. Nobody has ever, ever gone after a Jew for their racism. We see Jews and their racist policies everywhere. This policy is racist. Is Jewish racism, plain and simple. They want their own little category for their race of people here. Look, there's no protection for the German people here. There's no protection for Germans at all. It's absolutely insane what is happening here. And joining us, 704 area code. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
That would be me. Thanks, Fetch. Hey, it's you know, right on topic of what I was thinking about calling in today, so I figured I'd go ahead and chime in real quick. There's a host. I don't think I'm even going to mention his name. He's on another network. I'll mention, well, the acronym for the other network is RBN.
Yeah, okay, RBN. Ah, good old RBN. Yeah, everybody knows them.
Yeah. But anyway, he's well-known out here in the truther community, 9/11 Truth Patriot stuff, all that RBN. And he's been over on Genesis, and, you know, I first heard him. He used to be a regular, like, monthly guest, you know, when I first woke up back in, like, 2005, 2006 with Alex Jones. They were buddies, and they had since departed ways over Israel.
Is this at Burmese? Is that Burmese? Is
no,
he back?
No.
Oh, Burmese was
this is an older gentleman. And he's very critical of Zionism and, you know, Israel's policies and whatnot. But anyway, the reason I bring him up is he loves to bring up from time to time his first wife, his ex-wife. And, you know, he openly states on his radio broadcast that she was Jewish. And I don't know how he came to marry her without knowing. I don't know how long he'd known her. To be honest with you, I don't listen to him very much. I don't listen to him hardly at all anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to him to pick up some news tips every now and then. But anyway, he I don't know how long he'd known his wife before, his first wife, before he married her. He's since remarried, by the way. But he loves to talk about what a beast she was, and that she was, in fact, a Jewish woman. Mm-hmm. The reason I bring it up is he states that at some point he found out she revealed to him that, you know, the way she thinks, the way she was brought up and all the Jews she knew, they did not see non-Jews as being human. They thought of us as being subhuman. She says, we don't have to honor any contracts with them. We don't have to uphold any, you know, agreements. You can lie, cheat, steal, and murder non-Jews, you know, the goy. And, I mean, I'm not putting the words in his mouth. He has stated this. I don't even listen to his show very much, but, I mean, I've heard him say it several times. And I guess that gives him credibility.
Frank, how credible that – I mean, not – we know that's credible as – far as the statement goes, how prevalent, that's the real word it is, how prevalent that is in the Jewish community is hard to gauge because we don't have our own intel inside that community to grasp just how pervasive that belief is. But people, as you said here, people really need to be aware that is a prevalent trait inside of the Jewish community. Now, there's people will tell us, Frank, oh, no, that can't be true. Well, you think they're going to sit there and tell you to your face that that's what they believe? Of course they're not going to do
exactly,
that.
Right? Exactly.
They're not going to tell you that, but it's prevalent, Frank. We know that. We just don't know how prevalent. And people don't, they
that's
just
the
don't
point
want to
I
believe
always it. Make. These people are so gullible. Even people that, you know, keep up with things on alternative media, they're so gullible and naive, Fetch. I'm like, do you really think that this small little tiny group of people that has a long history of the
Frank,
population.
Frank, we're going into break. You can stay over if you'd like. Otherwise, into a break. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the iLive Primetime. Back with more right after this. And welcome back, everybody. It is indeed the Fetch, inside the iLive Primetime again for Thursday. What is this? July the 12th, 2018. And I believe caller Frank is still on the line. We just want to say before we get back to Frank is that we are live streaming again on YouTube. That's right. You can catch the Fetch now live streaming simulcast on YouTube. You can see what I look like out there after 6 years, everybody. But we're doing the YouTube live stream. Of course, you can catch us every Thursday and Saturday right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Frank, welcome back, where we were discussing this idea where there is a prevalence of a racial superiority about Jews that think that we are not even human, and people just don't grasp it. They don't even want to believe it.
Oh, they. And, you know, I just wanted to give a clear-cut example A gentleman who is a well-known broadcaster, but, you know, talk radio guy. I think he makes a living doing it. And, you know, he does put out a lot of truth and everything, but he loves to talk occasionally about his ex-wife, the Beast, and, you know, how she was Jewish. And she had these Jewish supremacist beliefs that were, you know, in her when they got married. I don't know how he overlooked that or whatever, because he's very critical of Israel and Zionism and all that. But even he concedes, even he admits that he himself has Jewish ancestry from the Sephardic, or, you know, I call it the Marano. You know, he's kind of like a Spanish-looking Jew, dark-skinned, you know, the guys that created the Jesuit order under the, you know, the Vatican. Because, you know, as he says, his ancestors, they converted to Catholicism in order to survive. You know, that's his claim, you know, and we hear about stuff like that in history. You know, rather than be killed, you know, by the Vatican, you know, they decided to convert, but they didn't really convert. Well, he doesn't, I don't know if he
Yeah, they just basically took it in name. They took it in name only, probably, and then just kind of like subverted everything. But Frank, I think the key point here that you did raise is that there is this idea, this supremacy idea that does run inside of the Jewish community. It's not fake. The Jewish community does not talk about it. They do not sanction these people. They don't say, oh, you can't be talking like that. You need to disavow everything. They're not doing anything like that. They're just winking and nodding and getting along and saying nothing while these people predate on everybody else around them. So in many cases, why should we not hold the larger Jewish community culpable in the crimes of these people? I mean, you can be... Yeah, you can call yourself a good Jew, and you don't believe that. But if you didn't educate people about that, aren't you kind of like in this great war, we're always being called we're anti-Semites and this and that. Well, maybe these people were anti-Semitic because they had ran up against one of these people. It's just to me.
I never had an anti-Semitic thought. I never had a negative thought against the Jews until I was 40 years old, because I didn't know. You know, I found out, you know, what they were. You know, there's a term, TJB. You know what that stands for?
TJB, no.
Typical Jewish behavior. It's all about behaviors.
I've never
been exposed, you know, like a disease.
Yeah, and that's the whole
thing. I've never really been exposed to it.
Yeah, and I think you raise a point here. Nobody goes around born into this world saying, well, I can't stand these guys, they're not good people, et cetera, et cetera. This is all learned from experience, and Jews want to deny that that experience even exists. And they're saying that you're not even allowed to talk about your experiences with other people, because that's proof that you're, quote unquote, this or that, and therefore they get to jail you for it. And if that's not tyranny, folks, the Patriot movement needs to wake up to just what's happening here across America as more of these laws start to get put into play. I mean, at some point, there has to be some organized pushback one way or another, Frank.
And you can't judge a group of people based on how they behave towards you when they're only 1% or 2% or 3% or whatever of your population. Imagine how they're going to treat you when they or their proxy outnumber you. Then you're going to be spat upon openly in public. You're not going to be able to open your mouth if you look at a Jew the wrong way.
Oh, I think we're there already. We're already there. We are here already, and even Tucker Carlson and some of these other major media conservatives are speaking openly about this. We're already here. You know, we've been talking about like some lone wolf character on some I don't want to say no name, but some obscure name radio stations for years and years and years. And the truth movement, they've known who I was and all that kind of cool stuff. But the general public is just waking up to the crap we've been dealing with for decades. And now they've got, they didn't realize they were Nazis. They were just told yesterday they were Nazis. For what? Well, I didn't like this person's attitude at the market. Yeah, well, there you go. You had a view that went counter to Jewish policies. Well, there you go. Now you should be ostracized and destroyed. That's how it works in the Jewish world. And people should, look, return the favor. At some point, just start returning the favor.
You have to. You really do. I mean, as a matter of just practicality, military necessity. You have to. I mean, it's like if you were out on the battlefield and your enemy's coming at you and you see this one guy out there, you see rounds, tracer rounds coming at you and hitting all around you, and you see one guy out there and you grab a quick look through the binos and he's not, right now, he's not shooting at you. And you're like, well, wait a minute, let's focus on this guy. Maybe we should put our weapons down. When all these other ones are coming at you, I'm like, where are your priorities? Do you not have any instinct for survival? Because this is an existential problem that we face.
Yes,
and most Jews are not going to come out as a member of a very small percentage of your society. They're not going to come out and tell you to your face what they think about you. A lot of them are going to act friendly towards you because they don't have anything really to gain by coming out and telling you their true, showing you their cards. They're going to hold those
yes,
close to the vest.
And enough of these Jews have now come out. I mean, the internet has allowed the individual Jew to show us that there really is a conspiracy against the Western nations and Western people. And enough Jews have said it, and then others have clearly covered for it. Oh, you're just a Jew hater, blah, blah, blah. You know, you'll get this type of Jew. He's not saying the supremacist stuff, but when you go against the guy that's the supremacy, he ain't going after the supremacists. He's going after you going after the supremacists to cover for his buddy, you know? So he's basically cover fire in a war. So he's providing.
And guess what? That's the guy that I was talking about who likes to talk about from time to time his ex-wife. He does the same thing. He'll come after you if you start talking too much about the Jewish people as a group and the negative effects they have on society. He'll get up. He'll cut you off real quick and ban you. So
it's a trait that it seems like they just can't help themselves. You know.
You know, a perfect example. Another perfect example is, you know, they say, if you just say something, just acknowledge a fact. Like you say, anti-Semitism is means it's factually true. If it's anti-Semitic, if you say, well, Jews control Hollywood. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Oh, he's a racist. Right. He's anti-Semitic. But then they say, they have a lot of power. They control Hollywood. But then if you say anything about it, well, you'll never work again if some actor says something about them. So then they admit in the same breath that, yeah, we do have the power. We can say you never work again if we want to.
And don't ever talk about it again because we're going to show you how much power we have. And that's how it works. It's a very sadistic, vindictive culture, and people haven't really gotten their head around it yet. People really think, oh, they're nice, wonderful people, but you cannot pull off a 9/11 and be nice, wonderful people. You cannot traffic in hundreds of thousands of children, tens of thousands of organs stolen from children in Syria and Palestine and call yourself a good people. Folks, this is a very deep, dark, sinister evil that lurks among us, and people are, I know you're afraid to talk about the evil sometimes, and it's fooled you into believing that it's the chosen ones and you should worship them, but you really start to need to, for the Christians out there, start to understand your own Bible in a way. Folks, these people have fooled you in a very big and serious way, and it's harming everybody on the planet right now.
Yeah. Okay, Fetch. Appreciate you letting me.
Hard to follow that one, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Frank. Thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. That was Frank, everybody, from, I believe, North Carolina. And again, we were on the Oy Vey moment before we went into the break. And the Oy Vey moment, again, brought to us by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year. And again, you can catch the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show every day. It's every day of the year, folks. I don't know why I'm thinking. Every day of the year. And again, be sure to check it out on eurofolkradio.com. That's eurofolkradio.com. We just want to talk a little bit about this Oy Vey moment here. It says here, Germany's government, that's right, Germany's government is yet to respond to the Jewish organization's appeal, the report said, adding that Interior Minister Horst Seehofer had already pledged last week to increase annual funding for the Central Council of Jews in Germany from $10 million to $11.7 million, $10 million to 13 million euro, it says here, not dollars. Due to the growing threat to Jewish life in Germany. Well, again, we have to question whether that life is actually threatened. If it is threatened, Jews have only themselves to blame. Again, I remember a couple of weeks ago when I had the little fiasco going on with our show, with our guest the other week. He said, well, you know, if your numbers crash, it's you're the only one to blame. See, we're the only one to blame. But if Jews are having problems, it's everybody else's fault. Isn't that funny how it works in their society? Look, to you Jews out there, okay, we're the ones to blame, okay? Now, when there's anti-Semitism everywhere, you're the one to blame, not everybody else. We're going to just apply the same standards that Jews apply to you, and Jewish logic starts to just fly away like dust in the wind because it cannot. It has no rational basis. There's no glue. There's no foundation. The only thing that allows Jewish logic to stick together is irrationality, is not just irrationality, but ignorance. Ignorance is a very key word here. Recently, Germany, they say, according to Jewish groups, was shocked by a case of anti-Semitism in April involving a Syrian migrant. Now, how many of you in the audience today, knowing the Yadad Yanan plan, I think something like that, I got to learn these words faster at 3 in the morning. But how many of you knowing that Jews want to depopulate Syria, put it that way, Yadad Yanan plan, that's what it is. And knowing that Jews want to depopulate Syria, and that they are at war with the Syrians, and a lot of Syrians have left the country, and Jewish organizations are the primary groups behind the Syrian migration pipeline. In fact, if you guys recall, we had, and I like the guy on a personal level, as Harley Schlanger. He's a Jewish guy, used to work for, and I think still does, Lyndon LaRouche, and he was in Germany talking to us about the nonprofit that he's working for that's there to help settle Syrian migrants, okay? Syrian immigrants. Okay? And then some Jewish person gets quote unquote assaulted, and the Jewish community wants people to feel sorry for them? Are they crazy? You guys are behind the whole thing. Don't blame us. Don't even bother us with your stupidity, guys. It's just not worth our time. Now, the court convicted the guy, but okay, so what? How about the many thousands of non-Jewish people that are assaulted within a month? I don't hear, where's the Jewish complaints here? Where's Jewish elevation of these crimes? Why? Because Jews brought them into the country specifically to target the host nations. Chancellor Merkel was speaking with Israeli television in April. Yeah, she goes on Israeli television, everybody, and she said that she was saddened that her country had not been able to snuff out anti-Semitism. Well, how can you snuff out something that is a rational response to Jewish behavior? Look, very simple. I was told 2 weeks ago that after the interview we had with that guy that says only Zionists can be talked about, we had a huge problem. One thing is that out of nowhere, one of my web properties, 100% of the traffic with Google stopped. The next day after that interview. Now, we can't say because we don't have access to information. We're just observing a fact. After that interview, the next day, the web traffic from Google stopped, and within 3 days, it went to zero, and it's been at zero, and this is on a website with hundreds upon hundreds of articles. It's not rational that it can just drop to zero. Doesn't make sense. Not a single click is being registered. Not one. And I was told straight to my face, you are to blame. You are to blame for all this. Okay, fine. Let's play you are to blame game. Everybody in the Jewish community, if there's rising anti-Semitism, you are to blame, not us. You are to blame. Don't sit there and have on one side of the political spectrum, you want to call everybody a Nazi. You want to call everybody a fascist. You want to call everybody a Hitler lover. You want to sit there and dictate to people how they can talk, what they can say, when they can breathe, probably if you had your choice, when they can go to the bathroom, when they can actually sit at the bathroom. So don't blame us for the anti-Semitism anymore. The anti-Semitism is there specifically because the Jewish people, you Jews are to blame, not us. It's not as if we can control the fact that people can't stand the fact that your policies suck. Your policies suck. Your behavior in public sucks. What do you want us to do? Blame ourselves because you guys, your policy, your behavior, and your attitude is just completely anathema to us in the West? You can't stamp this out. It doesn't make sense. You cannot stamp it out. Quit thinking you can, because the more you try to stamp it out, the more you're going to be to blame for even more anti-Semitism. You guys just haven't figured it out yet. Now, the key thing is, can you, the Jewish people, can you turn America into Bolshevik Russia? That's the real game here. Can you do it? There's a lot of my audience, I know you're not one of them, but there's a lot of stupid Americans, a lot. And they don't get the game. They don't understand that this is a genocidal play by a transnational group with a huge amount of players within the Jewish community participating. And you can talk about corporatism too. But you know what? If you get into places like Monsanto, you're talking Jewish. You get into the pharmaceutical company, start to track your board of directors, it's Jewish. If you go into your media and you really focus on the media, it's Jewish. Just this week, there was another organization, and I forget the name of the organization, but it was essentially an association of college professors, okay? College professors. And they put out a resolution saying that they want to block any and all free speech resolutions on any campuses in America. They want to stop the ability for American kids to have free speech on campus. I'm thinking, well, gee, here's a college professor group telling the American people they want to stop all free speech on campus. Does that, so where, what's the obvious thing? What do you do next? Just let rational. Okay, you go see who sits on the board of directors, right? Who's making the decisions? And guess what? It's led by a Jewish person. What? Was that going to be like a huge revelation? Anti-free speech? Totalitarianism on campus? And it's and the group that's calling for it is an organization run for the colleges for the benefit of college professors. And then it's run by a Jew. This isn't hard to pick, guys. It's not hard. It's not hard to figure out anymore. It's not the Zionists that's the problem with the occupation of America and elsewhere. And Chancellor Merkel, speaking on behalf of Germany and Germany, she says, well, we can't stamp it out. Well, and then she says, and to this day, Jewish schools, kindergarten, and synagogues require police protection. No, they really don't. You know what? No, they don't. They are being given special police protection. And if they do need police protection, guess what? It's their own fault. They are to blame. We need to start taking this attitude towards them. Every time they say, you're to blame, you're to blame, you're to blame. And I know you guys in the audience have heard this. Folks, you can't sit there and allow these Jewish people to simply have one set of rules for them and one set of rules for you. How are you going to go play a baseball game if that's the situation? They get to pitch from 40 feet away. They get to get the biggest guy out there that can pitch, and they get to pitch to you as much as they want from 40 feet, not 60 feet, 6 inches. And you have to give them a softball on everything. Who's going to win that game? Tell me, who's going to win? They're going to win the game every time. You can't have one set of rules for one side and one set of rules for another. This is not the way the West is built. We believe in fairness and parity. Fairness and parity. Look, parity, you can't stop stupid, okay? You can't help stupid. Stupid is as stupid does, I think was said somewhere. So, folks, but when we got a level playing field, you don't think you can't compete with Jewish people? The reason you can't compete is you don't have the money to allow you to sit around all day and just think, how can I ensnare Jews and destroy Jews? That's the reality. Because that's what Jews got. They got all the money in the world to sit around and say, gee, how can I screw the Goyim today? Oh, I know how we'll do it. We'll stop all free speech on campus now. We can't have the kids talking anymore. Oh, let's come up with an anti-Semitic definition so that basically anything somebody says about us, we can call the police and have them arrested and put in jail because, hey, we wrote the definition. Now, how would you like it if we had the same amount of money? We put together tens of thousands of our people into nonprofits, and our sole purpose is to just destroy Jewish power in America. Do you think we can't do it if we have this type of organization? Of course we can. It would be very easy. But that's not how the game is being played right now. We are handicapped. We don't have the organization. We don't have the capital. We barely have the awareness right now that there's even a battle going on between ourselves, meaning our two cultures and our two societies. That's the reality of what's going on here. I'll tell you, man. Merkel was talking again on radio in Israel, and she says, we have refugees now, for example, or people of Arab origin who bring a different type of quote-unquote anti-Semitism into the country. But unfortunately, anti-Semitism existed before this. Well, you know what? To the Jewish people, we understand you want to stamp out people responding to things that you're to blame for. We get that. We understand it. But it's about high time that the people of this world stop kowtowing to this phrase. This phrase is being used to ensnare, to entrap, and to destroy everybody in its path. And people need to become aware of it, to shout it down, to shout down these politicians involved with it, to take them out literally from the political world, remove them from office, remove them out. Make sure it is known that this level of intolerance from the Jewish community simply won't be tolerated, because they're not going to tolerate you. It's just there's no need for them to impose upon you. You're not going after them, folks. This is something that they are putting into play literally against you. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the I Live prime time again, Thursday, July the 12th. I'm actually just kind of getting warmed up after a rough start here. So sit back, relax. We still got more time. If you'd like, join us in the chat room inside the ilive.com. Click on the live chat button. That's right, inside the ilive.com. Click on the live chat button. Or you can join us over at YouTube at Inside the I Live. That's the user channel. So that would be youtube.com/C/ Inside the Eye Live. That gets you actually into the live stream, and that's been now going now for a little over a month, so we've kind of got the idea where this is going to be now and where we settle. That's our base level, so we're going to see what will happen from there, so that's kind of cool. And you can always join us on the telephones, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I don't know if you saw, of course, probably you have, Donald Trump, he's gone to the UK. He's basically been rolled out. They went to dinner tonight, and what they did is they actually went to a particular building, a palace that was not controlled by either the church or the UK itself. It's actually outside of state purveyance. It was manned, I guess we could say, by Scotch, I believe, Wales, and Dutch, not Dutch, Scotch, Irish, I think, and Wales personnel. I'm not sure the three, but there was basically non-UK personnel. Ms. Melania Trump is being hailed as a princess with her very long dress, kind of unique looking thing, quite honestly. And he was there, of course, the big balloon with Donald Trump crying was cast in the sky. But that's the clown nature that multiculturalism has brought to the UK. And it's really hard to hide all of this multiculturalism. Anyways, it's the Fetch, everybody, inside the live prime time. And we're going to be going into a break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with the final half hour. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch, inside the I Live prime time again for Thursday, July the 12th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening. Again, all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and again, it's now very early in the morning here in Amman. It's almost, 2:30 in the morning here in Amman. I want to talk a little bit about Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham, of course, is a senator of South Carolina. South Carolina just recently passed an anti-Semitism definition bill. Folks, pay attention to this issue. It is not a joke. It's something that's very serious, needs to be pushed back on, and those involved in these bills should be viewed as traitors to the American people, plain and simple. There's absolutely no excuse for an American lawmaker to be putting into play types of bills that are criminalizing Americans for free speech. These are very dangerous times, and those responsible for creating these very dangerous times certainly should be held the most responsible as things start to play out. Now, Lindsey Graham was apparently talking today, if I recall. Again, first of all, join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. And also you can join us at Inside the Eye Live's live stream on YouTube. Numbers have really picked up. Thank you, everybody. But we're doing this every week, so don't forget, everybody. You can check in again at Revolution Radio or the live stream. And again, we appreciate it. Wherever you pick up the show, that would be great. Let's see. Now, Lindsey Graham, where's the Lindsey Graham story? I got this nice little touch screen. Let me try to go to, don't tell me I closed it. That one, this one, nope, this one. All right. Lindsey Graham, and again, he's from South Carolina, and he was countering Netanyahu today. And what Netanyahu was saying was something to the effect that, hey, we Israelis can live with the Assad regime. Well, first of all, now you don't have a whole lot of choice. Quite frankly, you're just probably having to recognize reality. You rode this pony for all it's worth. You've now spread a lot of your chaos into Europe. The Kalergi plan is in full motion. I'm sure you're all quite happy with that. And South Carolina lawmaker Lindsey Graham, who is basically an Israeli agent. He's an Israeli agent, folks. He gets up on the stage and he says, my job is to protect Israel first and foremost. He's not American. He's a Jewish agent in this country, in America. But he says here that without Iran or Hezbollah, Syria's Assad would not be in power and would not have the ability to, quote unquote, to slaughter. I hate when they use these egregiously offensive words in our face. Almost 500,000 Syrians. Well, first of all, Mr. Graham, it wasn't the Assad government that did that. It was you and your terrorists. It was Israel and their terrorists. And yes, other Gulf nations, but certainly Americans. Man, if you have seen the pictures coming out of Daraa of as the Assyrians have started to roll up some of these goons out there, the amount of American weaponry that is being found on the battlefield is absolutely stunning. Over almost 200 tow weapon systems have been captured. The amount of artillery, the amount of actually armored personnel carriers. You guys freaking gave them armored personnel carriers? Mr. Graham, you freaking lying scumbag. Seriously, you're a lying scumbag. It wasn't the Assad government that went and attacked its own people. That is not what happened here. The amount of lying that Jewish people and their agents do in our faces absolutely disgusts me to no end. He says here, we had Netanyahu was talking yesterday. He says, we have no problem with the Assad regime. Well, you shouldn't use the word regime, okay? You should use the Tel Aviv regime, the Netanyahu regime. Again, all of the time, it's a nonstop, in-your-face assault using words directed to make reality twist into a way that doesn't exist. Look, if you want to talk, Netanyahu, about the Tel Aviv regime, I get you. Boy, I understand the Tel Aviv regime. If you want to talk about the Jewish regime, I get the Jewish regime, Mr. Netanyahu. And that's true to you, Mr. Graham. I get when you say that Jews want to murder 500,000 people. Hey, they took us out at 9/11, and you freaking traitors haven't done a thing about it to this day. We get this type of stuff, Mr. Graham. But don't sit there and use these types of idiotic lies to our face and expect us just to continue to just be silent and say, and nod our heads, okay. Graham is saying to our friends in Israel, be very careful making agreements with Russia regarding Syria that affects U.S. interests. Well, what are those interests, Mr. Graham? To put our troops into Kurdistan? To put our troops into northwest Syria or northeast Syria against all international law? What are these interests? Can you start to communicate those to us, Mr. Graham? Exactly what you are talking about? Because you have never referenced or mentioned or served U.S. interests your entire time in Congress. You've only served Jewish interests. So what are you talking about? Are you saying there's a little bit of difference between Jewish interests in America and Israeli interests right now? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Mr. Graham? How about you be clear about this and not use all this coded nonsense words that you like to use out there where you basically say absolutely nothing to us, but you want us to try to decipher exactly what it is you're trying to tell us? Eh? Because I'm trying to figure you guys out. You guys are, you just can't talk in language that even makes sense. But anyways, Graham just keeps talking about this type of stuff. And what is this? Dan Shapiro. Oh, that's a great American name, right? Dan Shapiro. Senator Graham is absolutely right here, he tweeted. But he ignores that Trump is trying to cook up a deal that lets U.S. troops leave Syria, relies on flimsy Russian promises to expel Iran, and pays for all this in European currency. Ukraine sanctions, Crimea annexation, weaker NATO, EU. Well, first of all, the only ones that need NATO, EU, like we said to start the show, are the Jews. Jews need it because that's how they control the Europeans. That's how they control it. If you can get rid of the EU, we could possibly see an even faster rise to nationalism, and all this Jewish crap that's there can get thrown out even sooner. Look, the anti-Semitic ain't going away because Jews are making everything anti-Semitic. So therefore, by definition, you can't make it go away. Jewish crackhead logic, folks. Let's create everything, make everything anti-Semitic so it's guaranteed to never go away. Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah, we're Jewish, man. Yeah, we're smart. No, guys, you're stupid. Stupid people. And it's your own fault. You're the one to blame for all of this anger. Nobody else but yourself. Now, Trump, of course, Shapiro and Trump and Russia and all this stuff. But Shapiro is like talking about how, you know, Trump wants to get his troops out of Syria. Well, why don't we want to get our troops out of there, Mr. Shapiro? Are you working for the Jews, Mr. Shapiro, or are you working for Americans? That's something we want to know. Plain and simple. That's what we want to know. Russian-Israeli cooperation is a central component in preventing a conflagration and deterioration of these other situations, Netanyahu said. Yeah, Netanyahu, because quite frankly, if some people are right and basically Netanyahu is under the control of Putin because Putin controls the world right now, that's kind of like some of the line out there, which I don't buy, but it's out there. That's a great thing to say, Mr. Netanyahu. But the other side is that if you really got out of hand, seriously, the Russians can turn you into glass in a heartbeat. And quite frankly, they should. So should Americans. Really, so should us Americans. After 9/11, all bets are off regarding the Jewish state. Seriously, everything should be off. Now, another thing I wanted to get into, and that is the World Cup. And just want to have a little bit of fun here before we go with this audience. We're going to revisit it on Saturday, I think. And the World Cup, of course, is going to be played out now in Russia. Not exactly sure which city. It's going to be at 9 o'clock local time here in Amman. And I've already reserved my table. I'm going to go to a place where I can have a beer or two or three or four or five for that matter. Some nice food. I'll spend a little bit more than I should. But quite frankly, I'm just going to treat myself. I think I've deserved it after all these years. So I'm going to go treat myself and the girls here. We're going to go. And I wrote an article. It's now available at InsideTheEyeLive.com. And we were talking about, I should shut this window because these guys always show up at 3. Bruiser's like up, like looking at the trash guys. Is there? He can't see anything, but he's listening. Bruiser, get down, buddy. Come on, Bruiser. He's up. Yeah, that woke him up. It woke me up. Anyways, the World Cup is going to be played. It's going to be against Croatia and France. And so I wrote an article saying that something to the effect that, look, with multiculturalism and its rampages throughout Europe, one of the key things here is that, see if I can pull this up here, go like this and like this. Yeah, that'll work. That looks pretty good. Yeah, that worked. Anyways, you know, you've got basically multicultural France against nationalist Croatia. I mean, if you're a nationalist out there and you're overseas, I don't care if you're Japanese, you're Chinese, you're Korean, American, British. There aren't too many British nationals, but they're out there. Look, guys, there's an easy thing to go root for here. The Croatian team. Now, Croatia is a country of about 3.9 million people. When Yugoslavia broke up, it took with it the the football, the soccer program that was part of Yugoslavia. That's why Croatia remains strong to this day. It took that program was basically located inside of what is now modern day Croatia. So it's always had a very strong football / soccer capability. It's got a good foundation, in other words. But when you look at what was happening, you know, I went out to watch England play Croatia, and essentially Western nations, they no longer have a Western flavor anymore. They've become largely multicultural teams, and most of the players on these teams are very highly paid professionals. These are professional teams, in other words. They're globalist multicultural teams. But when I watched the games, you know, one of the games I really enjoyed was Japan playing against Belgium. And Japan were short. They had technically good form. And again, I've been watching soccer a long time, being here in the Middle East. So I appreciate to you Americans, you don't really get it all. But humor me for the British audience, because I know they're going to grasp what I have to say here. And the Japanese, they played a very tight game. They were very well disciplined, and they were tied with Belgium going into the last minute. It was 94 minutes extra time, 4 minutes of extra time. And the Japanese guy, he tried to put in a corner kick. It was very easy to catch, and the goalie just sent the Belgian goalie just sent their team out on a run down the field, down the pitch, and resulted in a goal literally in the last minute of the game and crushed the spirits of the Japanese. But the Japanese people, get this, everybody, even though their hopes were dashed, even though their dreams were destroyed and all of that kind of sad sports sob stuff, the Japanese fans stayed in the stadium after the game and literally helped clean the garbage up from the entire stadium. Can you imagine that? They called it the blue samurais, something to that effect. But the Japanese, as a national character team, their fans did not forget their national character. And after the game, they literally stayed behind and cleaned up the stadium with the stadium crew. That's nationalism, everybody. That is taking your national identity. In the case of the Japanese, is very strong sense of cooperation, cleanliness. Even the Chinese fans were like aghast, not aghast, but in awe at here's this Japanese population base in Russia cleaning the stands. I mean, think about that. That's nationalism. That's the beauty of a people working in harmony together. Russia, largely a nationalist team and somewhat of an underdog, but they had a great run. And they had a presidential decree by the name of Vladimir Putin, no less, because he's the president. It's a presidential decree. And what Putin did is he actually gave a Brazilian player, his name was, I think, Hernandez or Rodriguez. I think it was Hernandez. Might have been Rodriguez. I think one of those. But it was a Brazilian player. And in the heat of battle, this guy went in and he headed in a ball that tied the game. The game goes into double overtime. And they end up going into the penalty kick phase to close out the game. This Brazilian player, who's not Russian, he's like, when I watch this guy as he's lining up to his penalty kick, he's jumping up and down like he's all giddy and excited. I'm like, dude, before he even kicked the ball, I'm an athlete myself, and I've been in pressure situations, and rarely have I, quote unquote, choked. I have, but rare, okay? But here's a situation where he's going to go kick a penalty kick. The hopes and the dreams of the nation are resting on his shoulder. He's been given a special decree by President Vladimir Putin to even play in the game. But he's a multiculturalist at the end of the day. He ain't Russian. He's not Russian. Okay? And what does he do? He shanked the ball so bad to the left, I was embarrassed.
Literally, I was embarrassed. I'm like, what a way to repay the gratitude that this nation gave you. You don't focus. You're jumping up and down like a clown, like a giddy little boy. And you just shank it so bad, it's like taking a golf ball and just completely shanking it. Literally, just shanking it. You were 25 feet away from the goal. How can you be 25 feet away from the goal from 12 feet away? Okay? Tell me how you did that. But that's multiculturalism. See, he's not playing for his nation. And even his own nationals sometimes, it's crazy. But that put Russia out of this thing. Then I watched Croatia. Croatia up against England. You know, 74th minute, England makes a substitution. One black guy goes in, another black guy goes out. Okay, fine. 90 minutes after the game finishes, another black guy goes out, black guy comes in. I'm like, does England have any freaking English? Are there any Englishmen left in England that can play football? Do they have anybody left? And then we move to France. Well, let's finish this game first. So I'm watching this game, and this British guy is there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stick to my principles here. I want Croatia to win. It's a nationalist team. You know what? I would have been, and before you go and say you're a racist, no. I would have rooted and vote. I would have been for Senegal if Senegal was there above this multicultural UK team. Sorry to all my English friends, but I'm just not a fan of seeing multiculturalism anymore. I don't mind if it's professional sports because you're pulling the best of the best of the best. And you pay for what you want. That's okay for me. But when I look at national tournaments that are representing the nation state, with all due respect, I want to see the best that the nation has to offer. I don't want to see the multicultural version of the best it has to offer. I want to see the best that France can put on the field with Frenchmen. I want to see the best that Belgium can put on the field with Belgians. I want to see the best that the UK can put on the field with people from the UK. I am not interested in legalese that says he was born in France and therefore he's French. Listen, I work in the Middle East, man. You can be born here. You ain't ever going to be Jordanian, okay? Go screw yourself. Unless there's marriage and other things, go screw yourself. Same in Saudi Arabia. Same in a lot of countries. I don't care about the laws. I don't care because I know how the game is played elsewhere. I just don't care. Why should I? Yeah, that's not how they treat us here. So why do I need to treat them like that here? It's just diplomatic reciprocity. It's not like we're angry with them. It's just I'm not interested in this type of mentality. You look at the French players, okay? French players. Let's see if I can pull this up here. Kante, Pogba, Mbappe, Matuidi, Dembele, Fekir, Hernandez, Rami, Nzonzi, Zabide. All of these guys are born in French, but guess what? They're not really French. Okay? They're obviously from some African nation. Now, to those of you who don't care and you appreciate multiculturalism, okay, France is a great team for you. But I don't care. Look, if I want to root for a nationalist team out there, if I want to root for nationalism and the beauty of nationalism, I want to say, let's have a go. All of us nationalists, watch the game and let's give Croatia a pull here. It's a nationalist team of 3.7 million population against a multicultural juggernaut morass that is France. Okay. Very simple. It's that simple. But I write the article, and what do you think is the very first comment I got? The very first comment. It was, you don't have to go all out to impress some internet Nazis. See what I mean? Internet Nazis. There's this loathing disgust that comes to us from Jewish creations. Did you have to invoke the word Nazis? Really? So we're the great evil now because we want to root for a national team? How does that fit? Who's the real Jewish people here? Us or these guys? Because to me, the picture of intolerance isn't Nazis. The picture of intolerance are Jewish people. So if you want to depict intolerance to me, just say Jew, and I get it. If you say Nazi, you sound like an idiot. Because that's the thing that's now all the way, as we discussed last week, into the national picture. Everyone's, even Tucker Carlson, my goodness, everybody's a Nazi, right? Here, oh, you don't have to say that to impress some internet Nazis. And then the next thing the guy comes out with is, oh, he quotes, trying to quote me, says, I hate the France team because they aren't fully white. No, nobody said anything about us hating. See, they want to project on us two emotions. One, we're Nazis. Two, we hate. No, why can't we have a positive mentality or attitude towards a nationalist idea? Why can't we root for an underdog that in today's world is nationalism, not globalism, not this multicultural crap that Jews throw in our face every week or every day, every minute, every commercial? I mean, think about it. He said, no, no one cares about the sport, even cares about that crap. You're just trying hard to fit in. No, I'm trying to show people that they are, and there is a multicultural influence now on national sporting events. These are normally, traditionally, national sporting events. What I'm basically saying is that in national sporting events, multiculturalism has destroyed Western Europe's ability to field national teams. Now, since when does being practical, rational, simple, observing of a fact equate to being a Nazi? See what I mean? They say, oh, you're a Nazi. I just told you everything that's clearly observable with your own eyes. What don't you see, you Nazi? I mean, man, it really kind of ticks me off. He says here, he says, and he's quoting here, all I'm saying is Croatia winning isn't going to destroy the EU and France winning isn't going to make you all extinct. You're taking it too seriously. Well, see, that was the whole point, is that it is making people, that this agenda against Western Europe is real, and denying it isn't going to help anybody. Look, Europeans were 33% of the population just 60 years ago, just before World War II. Now it's down to 8%. Now it's down to the point to where Western Europeans can't even field a freaking football team, okay? It's so bad they can't field a professional, elite, international football squad. That's how bad it is. And you're going to tell me, oh, you ain't all going to go extinct. Well, yeah, well, then you're not going to have a great go of it. Look at what's happening in South Africa, folks. I saw a word, by the way, just coming out, is that Russia might be allowing in some 15,000 boars from South Africa. That's just not been confirmed yet, but that would be a huge positive development for Russia because they have huge amounts of farmland. And they could certainly use hardworking, qualified professionals to come in and work the land of Mother Russia. So if Putin is doing that, my hat's off to him once again for making decisions that benefit the Russian people and not necessarily the politicians who push for multiculturalism. Let's see, what else? I got to keep track of the time because I can't hear it here. You got to watch what's going on. Okay, so basically, guys, here's my thing. If you are a nationalist, everybody, and you're international like I am, Croatia is like the only team to root for, man. I don't want to see, quite frankly, a bunch of Africans, overpaid Africans, quite frankly, that are French, on a national French team. I would have loved to have seen a traditional French team like 30, 40 years ago. I'm not interested in this quasi stuff anymore. It doesn't interest me. I wouldn't pay to see it, quite frankly. I am going to go pay to watch Croatia, though. I would not go see to pay these. I would not pay to see the French. I don't care. It just doesn't interest me, seriously. And that's my right. I don't need some clown in some faraway internet tavern or whatever, internet cavern in his mother's basement, as they like to say about us, sitting around saying, oh, you're a Nazi because you don't want the French. No, I don't care, period. It doesn't interest me. I would just withdraw all support. And that's exactly what people should start doing. The fact is that all of this exists because of your support. And we've learned this about American football. American football, it survives on the goodwill of the white population's pocketbook. And the white people have basically been paying for a product that disrespects them, can't stand them. Quite frankly, a vast majority of those football players, they're kind of like Kol Nidre Jews. They don't like you. They just can't stand you. And they think you're a sucker for even paying them all this money, quite frankly. I mean, so hopefully when football starts up again, we're going to have another, quite frankly, another huge bit of implosion of attendance for American football. And that will be coming up really in just about 6 more weeks now. Time's flying by. My vacation's actually almost over. It's over half over. So we're going to be having to get kind of like logically, rationally set up to change my brain to go back to Saudi Arabia. Folks, let's see here. It looks like we still have a little bit of time left. Again, just check out this week. By the way, go check out the show on Saturday. I don't have any guests lined up just yet. I may try to bring in a couple guests, though, but I can't promise anything. But as always, Saturday is always a great show. Come in, check out Inside the Eye Live this Saturday. If you haven't checked out the new article about rooting for Croatia, it's kind of a fun little article. It's in my typical style of polarization. So you might enjoy it. Again, you can check it out at Inside the Eye Live. And we were also on the Brian Roux Show this past week. On Tuesday, we did a show on what we call the Isisian Codes and Hermetic Kabbalah. And that is about my work on the esoteric construction of the English language. And you can check that out at also Inside the Eye Live with the Illuminatus Observer. All right, folks, we're going into a break. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's The Fetch. Catch up Saturday. It's a Fetch Inside the Ally Primetime. Good night, everybody.